I can't tell you how happy I am to be able to be here. Again, I wonder if I'm going to ever get well enough to do anything again. It's a strange thing. And I hope I make it without having problems. I'm glad to see everybody out. I know it's not my turn to be speaking. Hunter and I swapped. He offered to trade places with me. You hear me there well? I hope so. Now, anyway, he swapped with me. And I started to put on Facebook last night that I was speaking today, and I said, no, you don't want to run everybody off. I'm thankful somebody came. We're glad to see you here today. Do you ever consider how many souls are being lost? Every day. Every day there's people, I would say, have washed up on the shores of life in its ended, and they're without Jesus Christ. Just think about that. How many people you know down the road? How many people down this way maybe you don't know? Hundreds of thousands of people. I heard this story one time about a boy who was walking on the seashore. I was at a camp kind of like what Lindsay's going to in a little bit. And this guy spoke, and this was part of the story. Speak. He said, a little boy walking down the seashore, he saw starfish laying all along the shore. He picked one up, he threw it out in the ocean, little, little starfish. He go down and find another. He pick it up, throw it out of the ocean, live little starfish. Pick up another one, live little starfish. There's a man walking behind him who caught up with him. He said, son, what are you doing? He said, well, I said, this starfish, I've given a chance to live. He said, don't you know that that's useless? Look behind you. There's hundreds of thousands laying on the shore. Look in the front of you. There they are laying on the shore. They're just going to wash back up here and die anyway. He picked up the next starfish. He threw it out and said, live, little starfish. The man said, why do you keep doing that? I told you, it's kind of useless. He said, well, if one of them lives, I made a difference. If one of them lives, you made a difference. You see, we are to be like that little boy. About all these souls that's lost. That's washing up on the shore of life. Without Jesus Christ, that are dying and going to eternal hell. And we sit around and do nothing about it. Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Have we been seeking? Have we been trying to save that which was lost? Or we just sitting back in our rocking chairs watching TV and thinking nothing about the lost. There are a lot of people in this world that's going to a terrible, terrible place. We know they're going there, or we should, and I say nothing about it. Just saying, if each one of us was able to help bring one more person to the church this year, we'd be full. In a couple of years, you'd have to build a new building. What are we doing? In Mark 16, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He didn't say stay. He said go. Go into all the world. The lost are not sitting in your house with you. At least I hope they're not. But they're out there, lots of them, every way you want to look. They need to be saved. Our mission is to seek and to save the lost. That's what Christ wants us to do. We're blessed to have salvation. We're blessed to be in Christ. Yes, we're richly blessed. But what are we doing with it? Are we just keeping it to ourselves? Matthew 28. Jesus said, all power is given in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore teaching all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So you go and teach. Are we going and teaching? We're trying, aren't we? This year we got Neil coming four times to help us. But we need to be working. We need to be thinking, who is it that we can send somebody to talk to? Who is it that we can reach? Who can we touch with the gospel of Christ? People are being lost. Our children, grandchildren, their souls are at risk. In Acts chapter 8, we read about a man named Saul who was consenting to the death of Stephen. He was the first martyr. And Saul was trying to erect havoc and make all problems in the church and going around and committing people to prison that believed in Christ. And it says there that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Acts 8 and 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death at that time. There was a great persecution against the church was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The preacher stayed in Jerusalem. And then we read in verse 4, he says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. Who was preaching the gospel? Wasn't the apostles. They were in Jerusalem. Who went everywhere preaching the gospel? People like you and I. People just like us. The men and women that have become Christians, everywhere where they went, they spread the gospel. They shared it. And the word grew. And the churches grew. We need to go everywhere preaching the word. Just like Christ has sent us. He sent the apostles. He's sending us. He tries to send us. We may not go, but he told us to go, he said. Go into all the world. To everybody. All nationalities. Preach the gospel. 1 Peter 3 and 9, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffered toward us, not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want any man to be lost. The worst guy you know, he wants them to be saved. The nastiest old dressed guy you know, he wants them to be saved. He wants that drunkard to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. He understands they probably won't. But he wants them to be. And he says he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Are we telling people? Are we warning people? Your soul's in danger. You need to repent. You need to change. You need to learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus said, say not ye, that they are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Could you say the fields are not white to harvest? Aren't there just plenty and plenty and lots of people who need the gospel? Who need to hear the warning about their soul that they might be going to spend eternity in hell fire? They're not being told that. And many, many people are going away. And sure, there's false prophets and false teachers that's hindering the cause. But that shouldn't stop us. We shouldn't be afraid of them. I want you to open your Bible to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, we'll begin reading verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Are we following Christ? What was Christ all about? Saving souls. That's what he died for. That's what he came for. That's what he wants us to help do. He says in verse 25, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Could you say you're losing your life in Christ? But what is a man if the prophet is a, if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in his glory to his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. Christ is coming back one day. It says in Revelation, "Behold, I come quickly, and the Lord is with me to give every man according to his work." Revelation 2:12. He's coming back. And look at all the souls that are dying without Christ. Look at all the people that are being lost. They're losing the most valuable thing they have. Your soul is beyond price. You can't put a price on somebody's soul. Not yours, anybody else's. It's so valuable. What if you're the most happiest guy in the world and lost your soul? What good would that be? You spend eternity in fire. What if you had all the property it is in Bogota or Lincoln County and all the cows and all the goods and all the things? You're the best, biggest rancher in the whole countrywide. And you lose your soul. You've lost everything. And yet, what if our children grow up to be the smartest, best people you know? And then they lose their soul. It's not too good. What if we profited if we lose our soul? What if we profited if our neighbor loses their soul simply because we won't be friends of the neighbor? We won't tell the truth. What profit are they going to gain us when we lose the most valuable thing we have? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, it says that Christ, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished for their election, destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of power. Now, when you look at people that's out there, you think, oh, you're going to burn. Christ is coming back taking vengeance on you. His anger and his wrath is on you because you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ. Yes, people are dying a lot today. A lot of people die. And you think, what's happening to them? What about their soul? Did they ever learn? Did they ever know? Did they have the opportunity to be in the body of Christ? In Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And why we don't is because we're afraid. We're afraid of this, we're afraid of that. We're fearful, so we don't talk to them, we don't go to their house to see them. We don't ask them about their soul. We're afraid to talk about that. You can talk about the weather, you can talk about the rain, you can talk about sunshine, fishing, hunting, anything. Don't talk about the soul. Don't talk about Christ and eternal life. We're so afraid. But yet Jesus said, "I never leave thee nor forsake thee." So if you're out there trying to win some soul, don't you think Christ is going to be with you? Don't you think he's going to be trying to help you? Hebrews 13:6, it says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Why would we be afraid? But we are. Most of us are. We're afraid. Well, if I talk to him about Christ, he won't like me no more. So, at least you give him a chance to save his soul. Is it more important that your grandchildren love you, or if they have their soul saved? Is it more important that your neighbors love you, or if their soul is saved? You know, if you love somebody, you want to save their property, their things, you know. You wouldn't want to see someone come along and hurt them and steal something they got. But yet, with Satan, he's stealing their soul. He's destroying their life. And we can't say a word because we're afraid. The power of God is in the gospel. Sometimes we can't see that. We're looking for some kind of miracle. We're looking for some kind of strong thing in the earth. But the power of God is in the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God and the salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. The gospel is God's power. The Bible's always talking about He preached the word of God with spirit and power. The power is in the gospel. That's where the power is at. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. We don't need to be afraid. Christ is with us. He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So if we out there working for God, our labors are not in vain. We'll be doing His will. Now, rest assured, not everybody's going to respond the way you want to. But you did what God wanted you to do. If you take the gospel of somebody and you teach them about Jesus Christ and the power of God and the salvation in Him, and they turn it away, they turn up their nose and walk away or leave it, they judge themselves unworthy of salvation. But you've delivered your soul. You've done what God would have you to do, to preach the gospel to the brethren. Our labor is not in vain. In Nehemiah 4:6 says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. That's what we need, is a mind to work. A mind to get out there and to do it. A mind to work in the kingdom of God, to labor with bringing people to Christ. You see, it took a mind to work because they couldn't have done it. We need a mind to work today so we can go do the will of God. In 2 Kings, we read about a man as King Hezekiah. Now we can learn a lesson from King Hezekiah, because he was outnumbered, just like we were outnumbered. There was an army come up against and surrounded Jerusalem. They had many, many more people than they had. This king of Assyria, he had captured Samaria. He had tore down all the high places of worship. He had taken over Egypt. He'd taken the land all around. And he told Hezekiah, don't you trust in this God. He can't deliver you. He said, Rabshakeh and said unto them, speak ye now unto Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Syria, what confidence is this wherein you trusted? And so he surrendered the place. And he told them, surrender. And King Hezekiah would not surrender. He spoke to the people in the Hebrew tongue, told them they'd better surrender. But Isaiah told Hezekiah, said, he's not going to take this city. And so Hezekiah prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And he sat there in a house, in the kingdom, in Jerusalem. And God called the armies to hear of a rumor behind them, and they got up and left in the middle of the night. They went back and never come back. They went back to the homeland. That king was killed over there, and they never came back. God turned them around. He took them out away from us. So we need not fear, because God will be with us. He will protect us. They ain't going to shoot you. They ain't going to kill you. They may fuss at you and take you away, in which you'll go. But they ain't going to hurt us. We should not fear what man can do to us. But rather we need to pray. Pray. Put ourselves in the Bible and pray. And trust in God. He prayed and he trusted in God, and God delivered him. So let us not be weary in well doing, For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't faint. Don't lose hope. Keep on keeping on. Don't feel like, well, this old church ain't gonna ever do anything. No, it will if you will. Put your mind to it. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God's the one that brings the increase. We can't make people do anything, but we can teach them the Word of God. We can deliver them the gospel. We can warn them about eternal fire that's coming upon all those who obey not the gospel. We can do that. And let God bring the increase. We water and we plant. But there's one thing about it. It's a true fact of science. It's true in spiritual matters. It's true in all matters. If you don't plant, nothing comes up. If you're not sowing seed, nothing's coming out. You got to be working. You got to be trying. You got to be planting the seeds for anything to come up. You can't look at that ground out there and say, well, bring corn. It ain't going to do if you don't put some corn seed. We've got to sow the seeds of the kingdom. In 2 Thessalonians 3:1, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So we need to pray with it for each other. Pray for the work that we're trying to do, that the word of the Lord be glorified and bring forth fruit that's pleasing to God. Now, in John 8:24, Jesus said, if you believe not, then he should die in your sins. Everybody that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, going to die, and they're going to burn in the devil's hell. Repentance. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I say to you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said again in Luke 13:5, except you repent, all shall perish. So we got to preach repentance, or we're going to be lost, or they're going to be lost. Confession in Romans and Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, confess me before men, and I confess it before my Father which art in heaven. Deny me before men, and I deny you before my Father which art in heaven. We all must make that confession, or else it's not going to go well with this afterlife. The afterlife is going to be terrible. And then the final step that puts us into Christ is baptism. We mentioned it a while ago in Galatians 3:27. He says, for many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. How do we get in Christ? We're baptized into Him. So all these people, millions of people in this world, around us, up the street, down that street, over here, everywhere, that's not baptized into Christ, going to burn in a devil's hell. This morning, if you're here and you're subject to the gospel call, you never obeyed it, we give an opportunity to obey the gospel, to be born in the kingdom of God, and to labor in His kingdom. If you're here today and you need a prayer for the brethren of the church,